I'm Patrick.
And this is Will.
And I'm Johnny Schatz. And we are Guys with Issues.
We don't know who he is anymore. Do you know who you are anymore?
So... No, it had to do with a conversation about a customer name at work. Their last name was Schatz.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I said you'd have to have a cool name like Johnny. I'm Johnny Schatz.
I knew a kid with the last name of Sheets, spelled with Z.
I had a teacher with the last name of Sheets.
His name was Austin. Austin Sheets. Hmm. And then everybody would go his pants.
Wow. Well, Johnny Schatz.
His pants.
Dang. No. He's in it. I said
we were in high school. It wasn't a good joke. But we did it anyway because we thought Schatz. It was his pants. It was right. Funny at the time.
Mm-hmm. No. No, he's an Ace Gundam pilot.
That's cool.
Anyway, so what we're talking about today is... Agent Orange. What a great name.
Yeah. Not the stuff in Vietnam.
No, but I bet it's named after that.
Probably.
And we'll learn about Agent Orange and his connection with the Guardians. But first, Patruccio.
Yeah, what's up?
You went on a little adventure last weekend?
Yeah, I went and saw Christoph and Heather.
I thought you were going to use one of his sign-offs, sir.
The redacted?
I'm glad we thought of the same one.
That's funny, because I didn't. I thought the Beholder of the Truth about fries.
Is that even on there anymore?
I think it's off. I think it's gone.
Yeah, I think it rotated out.
That
was the one I'm like, Chris is going to think of that one.
No. I timed his sign-off, though, the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, it takes like 26 seconds or something absurd. Yeah. For Will to read through them all.
Impressive.
Just think how long it would take if he didn't start deleting them.
So we played some board games.
Yeah, what games did you play?
Played some pig truffle game. I don't know what it's called.
Were you pigs looking for truffles?
Yes.
Interesting.
And there were wolves that were
hunting the pigs?
Kind of hunt the pigs.
Were they big and bad?
So as a player, you had direction cards. And you had to roll dice, and depending on the number on the dice, one or two, you would have to put a direction card into a group of wolves. So there was brown and gray wolves, two of each. And then at the end of the entire round, they would play out.
Hmm.
So depending on if you were trying to be nice to your fellow pigs or mean to your fellow pigs, because they don't know where it's going, you can talk about it. You can plan if you want, or you can just, you know, try to screw over your fellow players.
Kind of like what you do with the Reaver ship in the Firefly game.
A little bit.
How you can make it go for people or help by having it avoid them.
Yes. So, yeah I kind of like that mechanic. It was a fun little game.
Did Christoph always send the wolves towards the other players?
No. No, I don't think anybody did.
No?
No.
I just thought his competitive edge might have pushed him, that imperial leader.
And to be honest, I don't remember who won.
No?
No, but it's a points game. You have to, like, so they give you missions, so it's like collect three of one color of truffle or, you know, two of one and two of another, and you get extra.
Avoid becoming bacon.
No.
Oh.
And you get extra points for that. You get points for the amount of truffles. If you look on the bottom of the truffle, it'll be a point value on the bottom of the truffles.
Hmm.
I had like five truffles, and four of them I had zeros on the bottom, so that was fun.
That's baloney.
Yep.
So some of that is just chance.
Right.
You're like, I have the most truffles and the least points.
Right. I pretty much did, yeah.
That stinks.
Were the missions assigned by a spider?
Missions were assigned by a, what do they call it, a draw or something, where you take four cards and you pass. A draft, that's it. You take one, you pass it around, yep.
Cool.
That was pretty fun. I enjoyed
like
it.
Blood Rage.
Yeah. And then the other game we played was a Comic Collector,
which I've heard all good things about. No, wait, scratch that. The one criticism that I've consistently heard is that the component quality is kind of meh for the tokens and stuff. Like, it's the super cheap cardboard because it's a big box store game.
Sure, yeah.
But that's, but what I meant is I've heard nobody provide negative feedback about the gameplay. I've heard it's very fun.
No, yeah, I enjoyed it immensely. It's a deck builder is what it is.
You're buying collectible comic books.
Right.
Marvel comics.
Right.
But they're all Marvel, correct?
You're buying it by hero. So when you set up the game, you set up like one hero is going to be your most, the one that will give you the most points, which in ours, I believe it was the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, Patrick hated that.
Should have got double points for that.
It really wouldn't matter. Underneath, there's two other heroes, and then underneath, there's three heroes. And depending on how many comics and collections you get.
Yeah.
And how many comic books are in each collection, you'll get your points.
I told our coworker about it because I said, hey, there's a board game that's been made about your husband's hobby. You guys should play it.
Right? Anyway. And then you also, on each one, it'll be like a first edition or a versus or a new costume or, you know, something like that, which are denoted,
key issues.
Denoted by the little icons on the side of the card. And depending on how many of those you also have, you get points.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it's like a $20 game or something, yeah, 25 bucks or something.
It's pretty cheap.
And you can buy it at like retail stores.
Yeah.
I've heard all good things.
Yeah, the art, you get to see the artwork of all the issues and stuff.
It's all original comic covers.
Yeah, it's cool.
So then Disney gets a cut.
Dude.
Disney gets a cut of just about everything.
Have you heard about them trying to fight the people claiming the wrongful death on their cruise?
Oh, yes. I heard that.
They're using the Disney Plus.
Oh, that's right. You texted me that.
So basically, Disney's like, no, when you sign up for Disney Plus, there's a clause in that contract in the terms of agreement that say that you cannot sue us.
I thought it was, and I could be wrong, but I thought it was he specifically had to do it and his wife couldn't.
No.
Because of the terms of the clause.
So what it is so because his wife died, correct? Or
no,
was it
he
him?
Did.
Okay.
He did. Yeah.
So he had signed up for a trial of Disney Plus, never paid, canceled at the 7 days. In their contract that you sign your life away on, you know, their terms of service, it says that you can't sue them in that. And so when they sued for his wrongful death, being that basically he had a severe allergic reaction on a cruise ship in their like non-allergenic food court or like restaurant. And they asked like three times, are you sure this doesn't have any dairy or any, they're severely allergic. And witnesses all have testified like, yes, they asked multiple times before he ate it.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, it's absolutely fine. And it wasn't, he died. And so Disney's saying that they can't sue out. It's in major claims. It says you can only sue them in small claims court, is what it says in the Disney Plus thing. And so they're saying that they cannot take them to court unless it's just small claims because of he had signed up for Disney Plus,
which isn't the same.
No, and the lawyers are like, this doesn't cover your company like carte blanche,
and they're saying it does. The lawyers are just dragging it out.
So their lawyer now has determined, because it's going to go to court for a judge to rule if they're even allowed to sue. But if they're not, they've already said they're going to create an estate, and that estate can sue because the estate then is a because it was created after the death of the individual, it is considered a separate entity than the original individual, which is how, like, you know, like Tolkien estates can do
right.
Like, that's how estates work when it comes to legality. And so Because he's passed, if they are told that the Disney Plus clause keeps them from suing, that they are going to create an estate and then go after Disney, which I feel like they'll go after like even harder at that point.
Oh, yeah.
It shows how incredibly evil Disney is. They had somebody die. And I realize you can blame the chef. You can say, well, it wasn't the company, Disney. But the way they're handling it is like the biggest example of ultimate corporate, like, just scumbaggery, man.
Yes.
It just like, shows you how we are in a dystopian future in which corporations are just trying to get away with, you know,
literal murder at
literal
that point.
Murder.
Like death. Wrongful death.
Right. And just... It's very similar to Nintendo. Anyway.
Nintendo? They did that too?
No, they do horrible stuff all the time.
I like that you're like, because you know so much about them, I 100% take you at that at your word.
They're very anti-consumer.
There we go, Patrick. You're going to spill all the beans on Nintendo in the coming weeks.
No, but it's just my wife has finally agreed that if I'd like us to cancel Disney Plus, I can't. Just because I'm like, I hate that.
At this point, it doesn't matter.
I know, but I hate giving them money for stuff, man. If I can keep my like $10 a month from them.
I've canceled my Disney Plus a long time
ago. I know. At this point, my kids watch a couple of things occasionally.
Yeah.
I'm like to the point where I'm like, I don't care what. Granted, you know, we're going to keep other things that I'm sure corporate, like, it's all the same. It just happens to be the ones that are always in the news, but they're all, no corporation cares about anybody.
Nope.
It's all about them dollar bills.
See, you said Disney's getting a kickback from that board game, and I was like, speaking of Disney.
I got the tea on them.
Dude, my wife told me all about that the other day, and I was just like... and it's so disappointing, because I've never been to Disney World, and I've always wanted to go and take my kids, like, as they've gotten older, especially with the Star Wars park.
It's really a nice place to go.
I've heard...
I've been there a few times. It's really nice.
But no...
Well, if you die, you just can't sign up for Disney Plus beforehand.
The problem is... A Disney trip now, I mean, you're talking at least like $5,000. At least.
For a few days. Family of four?
I'm saying at least.
8 or 9.
Because just to get in the park for four people is like $500.
Right.
And I'm like, I want to go so badly, but how could I justify giving them that much money? Like... I know if I don't, they'll get it from someone else, but I don't have to give it to them.
Go to Universal Studios instead. They're still corporate scumbags, I'm sure, but at least they have
Harry Potter World.
Harry Potter World.
I don't care.
Diagon Alley. And
my wife would enjoy that. My wife and daughter would think that's awesome.
Yeah. You mean Diagonal Alley?
Yep.
Okay.
So anyway.
Yeah. I've been to Disney World and Universal Studios, and Universal is definitely better.
See, Gunner says the... total opposite. Says that Universal's like garbage and Disney's like a fairy tale land.
Well, I guess it was just my own personal experience, but Gunner, you're wrong.
I've been to Universal when I was really young.
Yeah, we went for my senior year of high school. You could pay all this money, go on a senior trip. So we went.
I went before you were born. I think. No, you would have been like one.
Yeah. So
we're not going to talk about when I went.
Universal Studios actually, well, at least back then after COVID, everything, I don't know if they still do this, but they had a senior night for seniors in high school, not old people. And they kept the park open late, so it was all just a bunch of teenagers running amok, and it was fun, and they shot fireworks off, and they were still building the Diagon Alley, I think was built first before Hogwarts World or whatever.
Sure.
Hogwarts World.
Some of their Harry Potter stuff was still under construction, which made me mad because I had heard about it. I'm like, oh, cool. And it was all blocked off and we weren't supposed to go over there.
And then you snuck in anyway.
Dude, that's what I thought he was going to say.
Really, me too.
I looked, but it was so locked down that it would have taken some real shenaniganry to... And I'm like, I probably shouldn't get arrested when I'm in Florida.
There you go.
With my teachers. And yeah.
If you want to dissuade Will, shenaniganry.
extreme shenaniganry.
Right.
That's what it takes.
But yeah, and then we went to Disney in the broad daylight with everybody
Captain
there.
Captain Shenanigans is his arch nemesis.
I guess.
Probably. But anyway.
Disney wasn't that cool?
No, it was broad daylight. There were a bunch of kids running around. I'm like, this is just
annoying. Yeah, that's Disney.
Kids running around in broad daylight?
Yep.
It's almost like, you know, kids are drawn to their productions and work and stuff. Like, it's almost geared towards them.
Almost.
Yeah. But well,
except for Deadpool.
Did you see that he is in their Marvel area now because of the movie?
No.
Yeah, I watched a video where he now interrupts Peter Quill's dance off.
Nice.
That, yeah, and does it with him.
That makes sense.
So he but is it's so weird. Marvel Jesus.
It's so weird to imagine like Deadpool entertaining children because like that's what that is.
Yes.
It's like the only time those two things overlap.
Correct.
Do you ever hear the interview where Ryan Reynolds talked about his first issue of Deadpool that he ever read?
Mm-mm.
He was like, yeah, you know, he was in a movie. I can't remember which one it was. And someone's like, dude, if there's ever going to be a Deadpool movie, it's going to be you because like your character in this is basically Wade Wilson and you crushed it. So like, yeah, that could be a thing. So he went and got a issue of Deadpool and he's reading through it. And well, the first thing he reads is Deadpool describing himself. And he says, yeah, I'm like a cross between Ryan Reynolds and a Sharpay. And Ryan Reynolds is like, what? I'm in this comic book? What the heck? It's like fate or something. And so that's where he decided to become Deadpool.
Wow. That's an interesting tale.
You know, he really does exude Sharpay, doesn't he?
Like the High School Musical Sharpay or the dog?
Or the writing utensil.
The writing utensil, definitely.
Oh.
That's a Sharpie with an accent.
I picked up on that.
Okay.
Cool.
Anyway. Well, that was fun. Did you have anything else about visiting Kristoff and Heather?
No.
I think that that was a good segment.
I wasn't expecting that to last that long, but hey, you know.
Who knew bringing up Disney would send us down such a tangent? But anyway.
I think we should try playing Comic Hunters on stream sometime. We'll stream it for our listener.
Wow. You're gonna do that, huh?
Yeah, we should.
Right. Or at least record it and put it up on YouTube or something.
Yeah, that'd probably be easier.
I gotta get cameras and...
I mean, I have one.
Well, that's good, because I have two.
Boom. Wow, done.
Three different points of views.
Oh, 100%. We really just need one straight down. Nobody cares about us. Maybe one in a corner. One in a corner, one on the board. That's all it takes. I do all the editing. And you know I can switch perspectives.
I know you can switch perspectives.
Yeah.
Like camera perspectives too, or just like in real life?
Maybe some of both.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I know how to do it, so we can get that recorded. We could even stream it live if you really wanted to.
His face is telling me.
On YouTube.
This sounds terrible.
He's like, this is...
What if it pops off, bro?
It's fine. Let's do it. Whatever.
It's a pretty big if, but yeah.
So, more to come on that. We'll do... Yeah.
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 We know somebody who owns the game. It's fine.
We do. We could even get him to guest star.
Maybe.
Yeah. Why not? He wants to be a part of it. It'd be
He already sort of is, really. Both in
he's
our hearts,
inserted
himself. That's true.
In our hearts and in our emails,
in our segments, yes. In our hearts and in our segments. So, do you have anything you feel like you need to talk about?
No, I think that was just
me
about.
Either.
Sweet,
that was great. That was thematic,
right?
Glad I could help.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick, for bringing the topic.
You're welcome.
Oh, I didn't bring a joke, did you?
I was told one at the end of the day today that trumps what I had looked up.
Okay.
So you have two.
So No. I'm just going to say the first one.
But do you have two?
I don't remember what the other one is.
Oh,
I abandoned it. I didn't even write it down.
Anyway, go ahead. This is a warning. What you are about to hear may be offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah. So coworker, end of the day today, mm-hmm. as I was starting mm-hmm. to walk out, I was like, hey, here's a joke. What is the hardest part of a vegetable to eat?
The wheelchair.
Yep.
Wow. Did you know it?
Or yeah,
did you...
I knew it.
Dag nab it, Will.
He's like, oh, nobody thought that was funny. I'm like, I did. I'm going to tell it to my friend on a podcast now. I didn't say that out loud, but I thought it.
Okay, here. I'm just going to pull one.
Oh, okay.
A random one.
Sure.
So you have two, okay? Right. So you have two.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you've told me that one. Oh, man. This is so bad. What does King Arthur use to see in the dark?
Oh, I don't know that I've heard this one.
He's told me a few King Arthur jokes. That's why I pulled it when I saw it just now.
I can't tell you.
Night lights.
Night light. Okay. Yeah. It's fair.
But now you have that.
Yeah.
So that's the problem is it goes into
yeah.
into the ammunition box. It's in his repertoire now. Night lights. It's going to be...
I got a 50% success rate at this
dude,
point.
Dude, dang, so far. And you knew the terrible
one. I knew the terrible one, yeah.
Mine's like one that you tell a lot of child.
I don't read a lot of King Arthur pun.
No, but you've told me a couple.
I have.
So now you have one more.
Now I have one more.
So is it... what segment do we do next?
I think
we need to eat. Are we snacking? Right? Are we guys with snacks? We're guys with snacks.
We could be guys with snacks, yeah.
Okay. Oh, no. No, Will's got to tell us a wacky fact.
Either way.
He's got to tell us a wacky fact.
I don't know if we were going to
do that. Did
you
bring a wacky fact? I know we bantered, but like I feel like your facts are their own thing almost.
They are.
So it'll just be part of our new structure that's changing. Boom, boom, boom.
Dun. Yeah. So you might get a kick out of this, Chris, after our talk. Before, but it's 13 signs your coworker is a psychopath.
Oh, man. Go for it. Let's do this.
Yes. So this was a prompted lookup on my behalf because my supervisor might be one, actually.
Yeah. Don't tell your story, please.
Oh, that wasn't him. Which would have been sick if it was.
Anyway. Please.
Anyway.
So, this article was written by a guy who worked at he was a senior executive for two of the largest retail organizations in Canada, right?
I thought he was going to say most well-known psychopaths.
Yeah, but no, he had a colleague the colleague ended up hacking his email and phone and started issuing him death threats and also other crap. And he wrote a book, and this is just like some of the things you should look out for if your coworker / supervisor just might be a psychopath.
Okay,
so
lay it on us.
One, they have sadistic motives and intent, which, you know, from movies, we can kind of gather that much. So, yeah, a psychopath motivates others through fear rather than respect. Hate all the ads in this thing. They're glib and constantly turn on the superficial charm. They're great conversationalists who can easily sprinkle chit-chat with witty comebacks and unlikely but convincing stories that make them look good. They have a grandiose estimation of self. They're confident even in the face of overwhelming evidence. They're a pathological liar. They don't think the rules apply to them. They have a parasitic lifestyle. Cunning and manipulative. That one was kind of dumb. They don't... Then it keeps jumping. Stop doing... that they don't feel emotions like normal people, and their long-term goals are not realistic.
Wow.
I don't think that's 13, but it's close enough. My supervisor at work, which she kind of prompted that little look up, and I can talk all the crap I want about him because he's Mennonite, and so like old order. And so he will never hear this at all. So if I need to vent, like, boom.
Don't vent on our podcast about your supervisor.
No, that was a joke.
Ish.
Ish.
Oh, thanks for bringing us what to watch yes. for. So all of you out there, you faithful listener, you just keep those things in mind the next time you have an inkling that your supervisor might be a psychopath.
I guess it could really apply to anybody in your life.
But, yeah, anybody in your life that acts like that.
You might want to watch your back.
So, here it is.
Are we snacking or are we emailing?
Here it is. Will tries weird things.
Oh, yeah.
Or Guys with Snacks. Better known as Guys with Snacks. It's Christoph's bag this week.
So you remember how I went to Christoph's house?
Wyatt, do you have a...
I believe one of those bags is a refill. Probably that one.
So do we pull from the new one or keep pulling from the old?
I would dump it in the old and then shake it.
Okay. Everybody close their eyes. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at me! Don't try to stop me, Shmee. Don't try to stop me. Don't you dare try to stop me, Shmee. Stop me, Shmee. Shmee, stop me. What are you doing? Try to stop me, Shmee. That is so clever.
It is. I agree.
Or is it?
Do you know what I was talking about?
The old Peter Pan? I don't know.
Hook. Yes. Oh, that's one of the new ones. I felt it in the other bag.
Felt it in your bag?
No, in Christoph's bag.
Hellenic Farms, the original fig salami. Dried Greek figs, pistachio.
Fig salami? That's interesting.
Figures.
Oh, it's gluten-free. We're good to go, boys.
Nice. Figures.
You want to take a picture before? Because it might get a little bit
screwed
up in the attempt to open it.
Oh, man.
This might be a plate and knife type deal.
Just break it off, man.
Just break it off.
Right? Just break it off. Sure. Break it off.
Do you want me to get a knife and a plate?
I'm going to need at least probably a knife.
I'll go get a knife.
Wow. What on earth? It looks like sausage, but it's made of fruits.
Figs.
And vegetables. It smells figgy.
All right.
Oh, it smells like sausage and fig. It
smells like sausage and fig. What the heck?
Which is, I suppose.
It's got me excited. All right, here we go.
It's definitely a weird thing.
This is definitely a weird thing.
I don't know if I like that or not.
I'm not a big fan. It's okay. I'm not a huge fan of fig, though.
I think it would be better on a cracker.
I mean, you could say that about a lot of sausages.
Or like a spread. Like a... Well, that would just basically turn into a Fig Newton. But I was thinking like a shortbread or something like a sweeter.
It's like taking the inside of a Fig Newton, giving it almost the texture of sausage.
Yes.
That's basically what it's... Like, taste-wise, I guess it's not that far off from a Fig Newton.
Yeah, it definitely has that figginess, but it almost has like the spice of...
Life.
Like the... Yeah.
The spice of life.
It varies so widely.
Definitely the spice of life.
I got to eat that last piece to...
You do. You got to do your...
Do it twice so I don't lose.
Technically, I had twice too. I just didn't eat the whole thing in one go.
I know. Will paused to contemplate that and then ate the big piece. Is it any better now that you've had more of it? Like, the piece was much bigger. I think part of it is I'm not a fan, so I'm not hugely dissuaded by texture, but I didn't really enjoy the texture of that.
I'm not a fan of that texture either.
It's kind of gritty.
And pasty.
It was just different. It's not as good as like mouth and mustard or
something. Which is why I think I would like it on a cracker.
Because the cracker would add what needs to be balanced out,
I think so.
Or like a shortbread.
Or shortbread. Or
shortbread like that.
Yeah, any type of bread, really.
Do you still have those cookies from the other week? You could break one of those in half and try a slice of that and see how that is. That's chocolate and shortbread vibe? The wheat ones?
No.
Did you guys eat those?
Yes.
We don't blame you in the slightest.
Yeah.
But you I got a lot more peppercorn that time.
Hmm.
Because I think it does have like pepper in it, but it was a little bit... Was it spicy, but it was spicier?
I understand what pepper... Pepper has that spice moment.
Yeah.
My son does not like things with a lot of pepper because he is very sensitive to spicy.
Good old spice moment.
It's got that spice moment.
Probably partially psychological from that time he ate all those spicy veggie straws.
I think it's interesting because when my son was really small, he drank my black coffee and ate spicy food after me. And now, like, he doesn't like any of that stuff.
I don't know.
I don't either. Strange. But...
because we would... so, us children, my siblings and I, my dad used to put mustard on stuff, just the regular yellow mustard.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, I'll get those kids. And he started buying spicy mustard. And we all just went right along with him. And now we all like spicy mustard and things like that, so...
Yeah, way to pull one over on your dad.
Right. Have you ever had Dusseldorf mustard?
I don't believe so, but Heather, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, she will. It's what we count on, Heather.
It's really good. Nice. It's one of my favorite types of mustard.
Yeah, it says it can be enjoyed, this fig salami thing, on like a cheese board or a salad or with yogurt or with a wine or coffee.
So what I'm hearing is Patrick needs to slice it up. And his duck egg. And we're going to get a salad made.
At the same time.
We're going to get a salad made from all those stuff we try.
100-year-old duck egg and fig salami salad.
Wow.
We're going to get those little cookies. Sounds amazing. We're going to crush them up and put them on top as like croutons.
We're just going to... Oh, no, you could throw those Japanese nuts on it.
Good.
Some salads have nuts. Those were good.
Yeah.
The Mexican-Japanese style nuts.
Dude, I love that.
I know, I read it and you guys are like, what? What did you just say?
Yep.
Nope. Right. Yep. Japanese style Mexican.
So thank
nuts.
You, Christoph, for another interesting treat. That was more of Will Tries Weird Food moment.
That was weird. Though, all in all, I did enjoy it.
So you'd give that a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
I enjoyed it enough as well. Yeah.
I don't know if I would, I wouldn't say I disliked it. And if somebody went, hey, you want another piece? I pretty much would just be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, if somebody likes figs, they're going to like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I do love Fig Newtons.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Excellent. So.
We have one email.
Here's the mail.
Yes.
Why are you both looking at me?
I don't know. We just felt like it.
Okay.
Does it make you feel uncomfortable?
No, just wondering why. Because Wills does the emails. I don't know why you're
looking
at me.
To have like two guys looking at you and several people listening?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, cool. So we have one this week from Christoph, the reigning king of emails. It says, late but not forgotten. Hey guys, kind of a late email as the weekend has been crazy playing Comic Hunter board games with Patrick, which we just heard about.
Called it.
I probably missed the recording and am out of sync. I liked the episode last week, and while I'm not reading along due to time constraints, I'm living vigorously through the comments. Just two requests. More Kilowog love, more Guy Gardner hate, please.
Done.
Pat's got you covered. Though no Guy Gardner this week.
Nope, he just shows up as a construct.
Yep.
Right. Both were barely mentioned last week, and we all know who this podcast revolves around. Will White.
Right.
That is almost true.
Almost.
Last week, we talked a lot about Patrick Gleason.
Well,
I mean, you did meet him.
Yes,
talked to him.
We did.
He did a really cool piece of artwork for Patrick in his omnibus over there. Hobnobs are a quintessential English biscuit and are meant to make you feel very posh while you eat them. So next time, we need to up those accents.
I got to wait for more hobnobs first.
Okay, controversial opinion time. I did not like the Deadpool and Wolverine movie. See if we can get through this. Gambit's portrayal was underwhelming and very flat. The costuming and hair were off as well. The many repetitive fights between Deadpool and Wolverine were just totally pointy and pointless. Stabbing someone with healing factors is just dumb and repetitive. I know that was kind of the point. The plot was full of so many holes. The movie starts with Deadpool evading highly trained TVA agents with pruning sticks for a full 20 minutes. But then suddenly the guy in the suit, Paradox, manages to hit both Deadpool and Wolverine with his pruning stick when the plot requires them to be in the void. Lazy writing? While all the Deadpools were cool, the fight scene was strange and unexplained. Why did they suddenly show up? Why are they fighting Deadpool and Wolverine? Where were they inside the void if they are all on Cassandra Nova's side? Deadpool and Wolverine literally used Elektra, Gambit, X-23, and Blade to get to Cassandra Nova and then leave them to be eaten by the Beast while they jump through the portal. Wolverine's X-Men weren't the only team he let down. They finally convince Cassandra to help them and teleport them, and she makes it an epic jump scene. Bad writing. I agree that the blind owl gag was overdone and not funny at all. The fourth wall breaks and dancing slash music were the only good thing about the movie. I even thought Wolverine's hood was underwhelming. I give this movie a 3 out of 5 adamantium claws.
That's still a pretty good rating for how critical that is.
Right.
I would, like...
It's above average.
I would have thought it would be, like, a 2 at least.
Sure.
Like, 1.5 to 2 with the description he just gave.
Right. And I can't really argue with a lot of his points.
No, but some of those things I think you can apply to almost all comic book movies and fiction in general.
Bad writing?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. Wow. Please know that the others on this podcast do not hold that opinion of comic books.
Some. Some are just bad writing. But anyway.
That's all things.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, to make sure we don't leave on a sour note, I have a new section suggestion. Patrick's joke of the week. I want to hear the best slash worst dad joke he found each week.
So he wants the inverse of Lorena's.
Right, sounds like it.
So you already tell so many dad jokes during this.
I mean, I could tell one right now.
Go ahead, throw one out there.
But I don't think Will's heard.
Hit me.
Hey, Will, what kind of pants do psychics wear?
I don't know, Patrick. What kind of pants?
Just a pair of normal pants.
Ah! Get it, Chris?
Yeah, I heard the joke the other day.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
That's my response. I had something that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, it's something about it. It was the pant size medium.
Oh, yeah. Medium pants.
Mm. Okay, got to make sure to ask. Patrick, is your pin number 0004?
It is not.
Better luck next time, Christoph. Take care, guys. Yours truly, the Logan, the Prolonger of Podcast, the Hunter of Superboy, the Nutso to the Butso, the So Much Redacted, the Sixth Sheik, the Ying to LW's Yang, the Extreme River Crier, the Podrecuted, the King of Emails, the Holder of the Periwinkle Ring, the Hater of Duck Eggs, the Disappointed Deadpool Variant, Christoph.
Thank you, Christoph. And we appreciate your criticizing the movie. I think it'd be, I mean, you're not the only person I've seen with a more critical opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's hard to really knock these superhero movies out of the park. It's not going to be like, you know, some of these indie movies, but.
Oh, well, that's the thing is like, it all depends on how you watch the movie. If you go in and turn it all off in your brain pan and just imagine it like you paid to get into an amusement park, you don't really care about that as much. You're like, yeah, I rode some roller coasters.
Sure.
There were some that were better than others. It's like the scenes in a superhero movie.
It's true.
So,
unless you're a huge fan of comic books or superheroes or Deadpool in particular or Wolverine, you know, then it was... I mean, if you just like dirty humor like some of us.
See, that's the part I don't enjoy.
Yeah, me neither.
But
what, Pat? Some of those jokes you've told me.
Well, yeah. I'm not immune to it, but I don't normally like it.
I'm not immune to it.
I'm only human.
You're only human.
After all.
After all. He's only human after all.
Yeah.
But don't put the blame on him.
I'll try not to.
So.
Are we rooming? Is this?
Roomba.
Well, am I going to Roomba?
You can Roomba.
Because I suck. Anyway. I realize I throat cleared during the email, but that was like a legit, like, had a little bit of something from.
You had a little fig.
I had a little fig in the throat.
A little fig in the throat.
Yep.
Put it on
little
the shirt.
Little fig.
Anyway. Hal Jordan has a bad case of the blues. After his fight on Yzmot, Hal is stuck with the indigo ring of hope on his finger and is told by Ganthet that the only way to...
It's not indigo.
It's not.
It's blue.
I don't know why I wrote indigo then.
They mentioned the indigo lanterns.
Oh, they did mention it. I will redact that. rewind. The blue ring of hope. I don't know why I wrote that out, but whatever. Blah, 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 blah on his finger, and is told by Ganthet that the only way to remove it is to use all of the power of the ring. Meanwhile, in the Vega system, the controllers have awakened an ancient force of avarice that consumes all of them. The Smurfs gather a contingent of Green Lanterns, including Hal Jordan and John Stewart, to assault Agent Orange, a.k.a. Larfleeze. Do the Green Lanterns have any hope of defeating this bizarrely named monster? Find out today on Guys with Issues.
So tell me, what do you think of his name?
It's kind of weird.
What do you think it reminds you of? What words? You guys have any suggestions?
Whose name?
Larfleeze.
I got nothing.
There's some, like, depending on what his, like, inspiration was, there's some demons that are sort of
I'm named. Pretty sure I read that it sounds like lard and fleas because that's gross. See, and he's kind of gross.
I was kind of getting pleas at the end there instead of fleas. But I couldn't come up with a word for the first one.
I guess, lard and fleas.
Honestly, it kind of sounds like you're having a conversation with someone and they say something, but you weren't entirely listening. And you're like, did you just say lard fleas?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, because he's gross. He's kind of gross. He's gonzo, right?
Yeah.
Nutso to the butt-so.
Totally gonzo. I love when he's like, that's his name. It's driving me crazy. What do you think Larfleeze would sound like?
Depends on what part he's actually, like, when he's doing his monologue and stuff. I definitely think he put on a voice.
You think so?
But then he gets to the part where, like, we're kind of getting into the structure a little bit early because this is...
What do you mean? My favorite part. Well, don't give your favorite... Oh, okay, fine. We'll just get into it and then I'll ask random questions, I guess. Those weren't topically part of the structure.
Sure.
So, anyway, Patrick, what was your favorite scene?
I mean, I didn't have anything that really jumped out at me.
None at all?
No. I mean, I had stuff that I wrote down, but...
Do you want to pick one?
Really, I mean...
We'll just go around the tableau.
I'm wondering what Scar was up to.
Yeah. I'm so injured.
Right. Yeah. We really need to get into this war, but you know what? I'm not feeling well, so I'm going to stay back.
Yeah. I do not like her.
I think that's the point.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the point. All her machinations.
I mean, we don't like any of the Smurfs, apart from, like, Ganthet and...
Sayid. Yeah.
I almost want to say Sayid every time.
Sayid had a lot more hair in this one.
Yes. You notice that? It's growing out.
Looked much better.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe she's
growing it out.
Maybe they hoped for it.
She's like, man, I hope I get hair. That's funny.
Sincerity registered.
Will, what was your favorite scene?
So, yeah, Chris's random question kind of touched on this, but when him, Larfleeze, is fighting Hal, and Hal takes the lantern for a moment, and he's like, hey, you can't take that, that's mine, it's in mint condition. That just had, like, little brother energy to it, to where he's like, no, that's mine, you can't have it, it's my mint condition, mom, make him give it back.
I feel like he's speaking from, like, experience.
I also feel like that's what he sounds like all the time.
Really?
Yeah,
that's not
the annoying little brother. And I was that annoying little brother. I'm fully admitting it, but that noise.
I didn't think about that.
No, I wanted to look it up before, but I'm going to do it here.
I feel like in my head, because of his face, I think I imagine him more like slobbery. Like,
That's what you would expect, though.
Yeah, based on his appearance. Like, yes, that is what... So, he's kind of Gollum-ish, don't you think?
I could see that.
Like, when they were fighting over the lantern, yeah. I was like, oh, it kind of reminds me of Gollum when he finds the ring. Are you going to talk more about your scene you were talking about?
Oh, there's just like a couple other times where it's like when Hal kind of copied him and made all those constructs.
And he's like, that was my idea. And
he's like, no, you can't do that. That's mine. That's my idea. You're ripping the... I came up with that billions of years before you did. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
But no, it's kind of like one of those things where like he sounds like that instead of slobbering because it's like a big man named Tiny and he's got like a high-pitched voice.
But what if it was a little bit of both? Like, because his face shape makes me think he'd have to be kind of snorty and slobbery, but what if he sounds like the annoying little brother while doing it?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Can't get away from his biology, I guess.
Right. I mean, you still have to look at, like, his physiology. So your favorite scene, though, is when he grabs the lantern.
And he
turns orange for a second.
He does turn orange for a second.
And he says, mine. Mm-hmm. Mine. And that's my Ninja Turtle idea, right? Because Mikey.
Right.
And I'm like, I just want him to have pizza. Mine. And Glomulus has, like, a mask. I don't know if you noticed.
I didn't notice.
But it looks kind of like he has a mask. Did I have a favorite scene?
I was looking up to see if Geoff Johns had like a little brother, and it says he does have a brother. So I'm like, was his personality like inspired by his brother? Is this like, did Geoff Johns have someone in his life that was super greedy and annoying? And he's like, well, I'm going to immortalize this in comic books.
Maybe.
It's possible.
Maybe he's like, man, that guy's so annoying.
It also could have been a cousin.
Man, that cousin's so annoying.
Yep. Anyway, did you have one?
I'm going to say I really liked the scene where Larfleeze has his, like, construct bomb explosion moment in the Guardians Citadel.
Oh, at the beginning.
Yeah. When he sets, like, the rune, and then he, like, projects to it, and they're like, how can he do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I liked that. I liked that scene. Okay. Big old construct bomb.
That was basically pretty cool.
What's up? What else you got, bro?
So talking about Hal becoming orange, and it was like trying to list off things that he wanted.
Yes.
And one of them was like, you want a hamburger. You want two hamburgers. So I wrote down, I could go for a hamburger right now.
You could go for two hamburgers.
Two hamburgers.
Not from Okanali.
Oh, I know, right?
You would be so full if you ate two of those.
Broke, it's so expensive.
What you do is you get two hamburgers, you cut them in half. You get half of each, take them home, and then have the other half of each later.
I don't think that's the point of avarice, though.
No, I understand that.
I thought it was interesting that avarice cannot be sated. There's no satiation.
Unless you have the blue ring on.
Well, yeah. Then, because it sounds fulfilling.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. I was like hiccuping, burp, hiccup at the same time. What you got, Will? What's another one?
It was also cool when Hal tricked him and made him think that he had cut off his hand to take the ring.
Right.
Which was like something Hal did to that Boudica.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's where he thought he had the ring on. And it's like, ha ha, gotcha. It was a hallucination.
He's like, ah, you stink.
Right.
I liked when he said that avarice and hope were the same thing because you want something. And it said that hope is selfless while avarice is selfish. I liked that. Yeah. I thought that was cool. It was a good thought.
It was.
Like a genuinely like pensive, like something to be pensive about.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed that. What about you? Got any more?
I liked how the ring kept asking him, what do you hope for? And then eventually he's just like, I hope you stop asking me that when this is over. And the ring's like, okay.
Sincerity accepted. Or sincerity recognized.
Yes.
And he's like, you gotta be kidding me.
He's like, you gotta be kidding me. That was hilarious.
That was great writing.
It was. That was good.
And then he lets that huge Mongo blast go.
Yep.
Will, you have any others?
I don't think I do.
No?
Check my notes. I thought I got them all.
Well, while you're looking, I just want to talk about a few other moments. One, I like the power percentage on Larfleeze's battery.
Right. Where 7,000 something.
Yeah, like 7,800 right. and something. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, it seems like the Green Lantern rings, when they start pushing the 200 percentile, like they start capping out.
Right.
But Larfleeze was like 7,000 and was like, that's right, because I don't share it. I don't give it out. And he's like, I also find it interesting that his whole core are constructs from him because he collects the people that he kills, basically.
Yeah.
That's quote awesome.
Unquote, eats them.
That is an awesome idea.
Or like sure. there's one panel where he's just like hiding in a massive pit of like rings. It's like a ball pit.
Yeah.
But it's just like orange rings. And he's like, they're all mine.
Yeah. You got another one, Petruchio.
Yeah, so after he got the blue ring off, Hal was remembering something that the blue ring showed him. And it was Sinestro saying that he can't do it without Hal.
Yep.
Which I was like, ooh.
Good foreshadowing.
Good foreshadowing. Mm-hmm.
Also, to go with that, the Sinestro scene where he's like hiding and he's communicating with his core members who were also in hiding on... was it on or Okara?
Zamorot.
Or which one? Zamorot. That's right. They were going to crush the Star Sapphires.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, so that love can do what it always does in our presence, dies.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's bad.
Right.
Good there was, foreshadowing. You got another one, Will?
There was one panel where it was like, I think they were fighting and talking about the rings or like greed or whatever. And the background was all blurred out, but the foreground had just like highlighted all the rings or something on the ground. And I thought that was really cool because I hadn't seen that in comics before.
Yeah, I thought that was really, like, it really drew your eyes.
Yeah.
I agree. Patrick, do you have any others?
I have a question.
Wait, do you want to ask it first or do you want me to mention my other?
Mention your other one.
I liked Fatality showing up and trying to be John, you need to forgive yourself. The destruction of my planet does not need to be something that you carry.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was a good moment because we saw him hanging out in the asteroid field of the destroyed planet. That's where he goes to think.
Several times so far.
Yeah, where everybody else goes and hangs out, he just goes and mopes.
Yep.
And I liked when Hal did do all the constructs of the core members because they were all the core members that he's like been friends with. Yep. Like Kyle was there and Guy was like, it was the Green Lantern core, but all projected by Hal.
Yes.
That was super cool.
That was good.
Good splash page. That was a good definitely. Splash page. Go ahead and ask your question, but I wanted to talk about what happens at the end.
Okay, I'm 100% going to screw up this name.
Okay.
Because it starts with an X.
So say it with a Z.
Zanshi?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay, who is that?
Isn't that the one that got sent off like way in the beginning?
I didn't remember. Because the
guy from the last time meets up with him.
Is that who he meets up with? Because
the dead dude? The talking dead dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember? Because like from way back in the beginning, like right when Scar starts doing her stuff, she sent that guy out to look for the anti-monitor
first. Because there was a line that says, that person was not as innocent as you might believe. And I was just like, I don't remember who this is.
Oh, are we talking about the one that was from the Vega system that got eaten?
I don't know.
No, that guy's name was like with a G. He was like,
I'd have to look back at it.
But I think you're talking about the part where it's like with him writing the letter to his dead wife, right?
No, I think
that's the guy that I thought he was talking about. So you're not talking about that guy.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know either.
Because it was who was the bad guy again? The Larfleeze guy?
Larfleeze?
Yeah, he said that.
I don't know.
At least I think he did. Or was in one of those yellow
He also boxes. Mentioned something else that was kind of foreshadowing or foreboding of some kind. I can't remember.
I think
remember.
He said it about the Guardians or...
I just like that he stole Parallax from them.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah, that was a plot twist. How about
that? That was good. I was like, are they going to say what was in the box? And it was Parallax.
Yep.
By the way, how totally... I'm trying to, like, watch the words I use. I don't... Insidious... Were the Guardians in telling him where the Blue Lantern planet was?
I know,
was.
Right?
Dude, least favorite part.
That was nasty. Oh, is that is that your least favorite? Yep. Oh, sorry. So who's your favorite character, Patrick?
I'm just going to say Hal.
Hal?
Yeah.
Nice.
Why not?
Yeah. He's a great character. Yeah. Wilhelm.
I was also going to say Hal Jordan.
Nice. I was going to say Lar Flees.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Hal 9000, if you guys... No, it was Hal Jordan.
It was Stell. No, I like Lar Flees as a character. He was a good antagonist for this, but, like, he feels very different than, like, any of the other people they've come up against. And he's, like, comically irritating. Like a little brother. Like, some of his comments and things that you guys mentioned, you're just like... This guy.
Right?
You don't expect that face with that personality.
But that's what makes him so funny. He's like a monster that's whiny.
No.
He's so dumb. Yep. But anyway, so I pick him just because he's an interesting character.
Right.
Also, interesting that only one Orange Lantern, because you don't share when you're greedy.
Right.
That's interesting, too.
I kept it all to myself.
So, what was your least favorite scene?
The same one Will has, when the Guardians were like, oh, yeah, here's a location to the Blue Rings. So you can go get yourself one.
Yeah.
So instead of, like, fighting greed, they're like, oh, we still can't win. We're just going to give up.
No, they hate Gantha and Sade. They do not like what they're doing.
And they think this is going to get rid of the blue.
I think they're thinking core. That maybe they kill two birds with one stone and they make and they're facing off against each other.
Yep.
So who's your least favorite character?
The Smurfs.
Same.
Yeah.
They are so deplorable, man.
Yeah.
Like, just all the time. I feel like the more you see about what they've done in the past and the stuff they're doing, like, decision by decision, they're just terrible, man.
That's what happens when you get rid of all of your emotions. You become a psychopath.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they're bosses that are psychopaths.
They are.
Totally.
Totes.
Anyway, yes, Smurfs, 100%. So we need to talk about the end, though, because we are in the road to Blackest Night at this point.
Yes, it literally says prelude to Blackest Night.
So, yeah, the next, that's like on the graphic novel for Emerald Twilight, or no, what's it called? Emerald Eclipse. Mm. Emerald Eclipse is the next read.
So talking about the digital and the end.
Yes.
I showed Will that picture.
Did you show him?
He showed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And he goes, oh, I've seen that. And he scrolled back and it was actually the cover page of the last issue.
Yeah, it shows, it was like a variant cover,
yeah.
But it doesn't show the scene.
No, yeah, you didn't know. Like, I didn't piece those two things together. I'm just like, oh, that's a cool piece of art.
Right.
You already know that she's kind of, you know, evil.
Well, you see that she has, in that one page, you see Scar is bleeding black ooze out her eyeballs.
Correct.
And she has a book of Blackest Night. Right? It's got the symbol.
I think so. I can go get it if you really want to look at it.
No, it's not a big deal. And it's in the next, I think it might be in our next read anyway.
And it shows those two guys that we were talking about, the guy who can hear the dead from last time, and then the one guy who was trying to...
This is the other page, right?
Yeah.
That's the actual final page.
That's the actual final page.
So they find the anti-monitor.
They find a massive black lantern.
Power battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, they find the, like, core battery of black lanterns. And they say, oh, the anti-monitor's inside of that, which we saw like many issues ago.
Yes.
If you remember, we saw the formation of that. Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting, since we talked about the guy who can speak to the dead in one of the recent issues.
Right.
I like how they have that part where he's like, everybody's thought it was like a curse, and I've always said it was a blessing. Like, I've always said they were wrong. And then he's like, I was wrong.
Right.
It is a curse. Like, that was a pretty good part.
Screaming at me.
Yeah.
He's like, the dead were wrong. They were lying to me or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, crap.
And then you see hands burst through the ground.
Yeah.
And I also like that he's like, I can't hear you now, but I will soon.
Right.
He's like, we're dead.
Pretty much.
Yeah. How are you guys feeling with Blackest Night coming? Like, do you feel the ramp up? Does it, like...
They are hyping it up pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of zombie stories, so we'll see.
See, that's like the one horror thing that I do tend to enjoy, like movies and stuff. Night of the Living Dead is one of my favorite horror movies.
I see zombie stuff, and I'm like, I'll pass.
Even Shaun of the Dead?
Okay.
I love that.
That one's good.
But I like Hot Fuzz more.
But if it's a comedy, that trumps almost everything. I'll always watch a comedy.
See, I'm the opposite. I rarely watch comedies.
Oh, I love comedies.
I barely watch any at all.
I know. That's because you haven't seen very much Mo Brooks, and it just hurts me.
So, out of what? How many Orange Lanterns?
Well, there's only one.
How many hopes?
If we say there's more.
You want to have hopes?
Blue rings?
Or hopes. Just like, how many hopes do you have? How many hamburgers?
Hamburgers. There we go. I like hamburgers.
How many hamburgers?
Let's do hamburgers.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll give it a five.
Out
of five hamburgers.
What about you,
Will? I would also give it a five this
week. Same. But I'm predictable right now. I feel like I'm pretty predictable. Yeah, it was another good. It definitely felt like a ramp up.
Definitely, yeah.
Got a new character. Saw a return. We saw a little bit more of the Star Sapphires. Saw a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
Sinestro is angry that they're holding his people hostage. So that's the thing. We saw the Green Lanterns fight the Orange. We saw the Orange go to confront the Blue. And we know the Yellow are about to confront the Violet.
Yeah.
And we know the Red are hunting the Yellow.
Right.
Dude, it's just all over the place. And we saw that the Blue need to contact the Indigo.
Yeah. The Agantha did tell Hal when he was, you know, at the, I think it was the first issue we read for this week. He's like, yeah, we are currently in the War of Light.
Yep.
And, you know, right now we're just trying to get ahead so we can be prepared for, you know, the Blackest Night.
Yeah, I love the War of Light. Because it brings in all these cool cores, man. Yeah. We're getting to see them full-fledged.
They kind of seem a bit more, like, overpowered compared to... I mean, obviously, they all have their own constraints, you know, probably a bit more than the Green Lanterns do. But, like, the Blue Ring seemed to do a lot more damage to large fleas than the Greens. And then, you know, the Orange constructs were just absorbing all the green light. But the one Starfire chick that showed up for John, Fatality, built like a prism, like a crystal whatever, and it couldn't get through it.
Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But yeah, it just seems like all the other colors are, you know, being pretty hyped up as, you know, as far as the power goes.
Yeah, and I think some of that is that... So technically, the Green Lanterns are, their rings are considered to be like the most powerful weapons in the universe or whatever is what they always claim.
Yeah.
But we know that it runs on willpower, and at one time it couldn't affect Yellow, but now it's become kind of this neutral point, which makes sense because it's in the center, right?
Yep.
And then you have the Red Lanterns and the Violet. So you have Rage and Love on the outside, and they seem to be able to easily, like, Rage, their acid blood vomit just eats through, like, the shields and can kind of drain rings and stuff. But they are completely uncontrolled.
Yeah.
And and even the love, it takes like a lot for one of them to even be able to function, it seems like.
Yeah.
But once they do, like, we still haven't seen them use like constructs or anything really. Not we've seen them punch really. People and kind of like,
I guess we do did see some blasts. Some chains or something against the creepy crib.
Crib, yeah. But like, and then you have, you know, you have Indigo, which we haven't seen yet. And Orange. Orange is solo and driven by insatiable hunger. And it's just interesting because then Blue, you know, they're like stupidly powerful, but they can't do anything without a Green Lantern. And then I don't really know. See, the yellows and the greens feel so similar in their ability. Well, like, even though technically yellow and blues are the equal parts of the spectrum, like, Sinestro Corps members kind of feel like Green Lantern Corps members. Yeah. But they function on people's fear.
Right.
So maybe that's part of it, though. Maybe if you consider a drawback for them, they have to be causing fear, where Green Lanterns, it's their own willpower. It's right. internal, where the Sinestro Corps members, it is an external thing. So it's still reliant on something.
Yeah.
So
I guess it goes to show you how well thought out this was, because they're so similar in this, you know, they're right next to each other in the order. And then, you know, Blue is right on the other side, so it
and it's makes internal
sense.
As well.
And, you know, it's dependent on the color that's like right next to it. So
yeah, no, I love the concept of all of the cores and how the colors work. Yeah. That's why I went over it, because if anybody's listening to us talk about it, they may as well get a whole idea. So as we really get into it, it makes sense.
As we learn about Black
and Indigo.
And Indigo.
Yeah, they are interesting. But they get really interesting after Blackest Night. That's when you find out the real Indigo stuff way later.
Cool.
But anyway, so we do have an announcement.
Yes, we do.
We have a special announcement.
Amazing.
It's an amazing announcement.
It is.
We've decided to give you all a gift.
A gift that just keeps on giving.
And you know what that gift is?
Is it... kind of dumb thing can I say?
I thought you were going to say hamburgers.
Is it hamburgers? No.
No, Patrick. What is it, Patrick? What are we giving them?
You want me to tell them?
I mean,
am I going to be the honored one to tell everybody?
You can go ahead, Patrick.
Go for it.
That we're going to give a shorter episode, so you're going to get two episodes a week from us?
Yeah. We're giving you the gift of us.
Yes.
Twice a week.
We are the gift that keeps on giving.
And, you know, I had thought of a great name for this.
Oh, yeah?
And I totally spaced it.
Oh, no.
Must have been a great name.
It was really good, and I didn't write it down. I don't think I did. So, what we're doing is kind of embracing our idea of being... you know, new reader, new to comics, new superhero friendly.
Yeah.
Right? In our own journey of getting to know these heroes and stories. And what we're going to do is every Monday, starting next week.
Yep.
We are going to release a short extra episode, right? Bonus issue that just talks about a character. We're going to pick a character each week and we're going to each do a little bit of research. And there's not going to be banter or like a lot of chat, but we're just going to talk. We're going to give you a character bio. We're going to tell you about them, some of the stuff they've done, some of their enemies. And so you can learn about superheroes with us.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a good old time?
Yeah. So just a little short bonus issue every week.
Yep.
And Patrick.
What's up?
Who are we starting with?
We're going to start with Squirrel Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Will, how did we come up with that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Patrick?
Yep. All my fault.
Yeah. So Patrick loves Squirrel Girl. What he's read, he has loved.
She's amazing.
And so Will and I haven't read any Squirrel Girl yet.
Nope. Not a bit.
So we're going to spotlight Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
I think it came around as a joke because we were talking about, like, oh, what could each of us do? Just like pick a thing, and Pat is like, well, I'm just gonna do all the like funny stuff they say, like fun puns, fun jokes. It's like, well, good luck with Squirrel Girl. We're gonna sit here for the next 3 hours as Pat just reads us the whole omnibus. Or
yes,
and we're like, yeah, let's do Squirrel Girl. So, and that goes into something else we'd like to highlight with this, which is right now we are currently eyeballs deep in DC Comics.
That is correct.
We are reading lots of DC because we are on this Green Lantern saga. So we decided that we are going to start this by using it to balance out the love of comics. And we're going to do Marvel characters. We're going to spend some time each week. We're going to pick a Marvel character. Now, eventually, depending on what we choose to do after Green Lantern, it might be like a back and forth or whatever we feel like. It may not really have any hard and fast rules. But for the time being, it's going to be Marvel characters.
Yep.
Which is funny. We just spent, you know, 30 minutes talking crap about Disney. It's like, oh, we're going to highlight Marvel.
Marvel's been its own thing for a lot longer than Disney's owned it, man.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, Disney has only owned it for like 15 years or something.
Which is kind of crazy because I remember the headlines was like, Disney just bought Marvel Studios.
Yep. So yeah, you get to chat with us 2 times a week. Now, if you'd like to hear us talk about a specific Marvel character in the coming weeks, put it in an email.
Yeah. Longbox@guyswithissues.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be reading that on the hero issues, but
no.
We will still read them.
Right.
There was something else. What was I going to say about that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But it'll have a name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be named something.
It will be named something. Even if it's just called something.
No, we're not called
something in the limelight.
Anyway. But yeah, so
issues
you guys...
Issues of heroes.
Heroes with ish. No. No. So there we go. The next Green Lantern section is called Emerald Eclipse. You know, we've had Emerald Dawn that we didn't read on this. We've had Emerald Twilight that we've discussed. We're going to talk about Emerald Eclipse.
Wonderful.
And it's in Green Lantern Corps.
Yep.
So the next reading is in Green Lantern Corps. Check the description below. And that will have the issues that includes. And after that, so we had a few changes here and there. After that is Blackest Night.
Yeah.
So we have to decide if we're going to do that through the month of October.
I'll be very close to the end of my Green Lantern Corps omnibus at the end of this.
And the other one comes out in December?
September.
What is it? Oh, it's so close.
It really is.
It's super close.
I really hope I can get that one.
You need to just order the Blackest Night one that I have. Because then that's all of everything they ever made for Blackest Night, including the stuff that's outside of Core and Green Lantern.
I might.
And then that would go with your big set once you have like that entire, you know, tome library.
Sure.
But then you would be fine all the way through, but you'd get the next one by the time Blackest Night was done.
Maybe I'll head over there this weekend.
That's hilarious. I am a wallet puncher.
Aren't you?
What time
wallet
does he...
punched.
What time does he close on Friday? Anyway, yeah.
Yep.
More of us, because that's what all of you want to listen to.
That's what we hear, at least.
It's what you keep telling us, so
and
we
then
have decided
that's what you
to give
get
it to
hear.
You.
Will's going to give it to you.
Yep.
Nice.
I had a lot of song references in this.
You did. Pretty good.
Just keep it coming.
Well, I guess I'm Patrick.
And this is Will.
And I'm Chris. Or Johnny.
A.K.A.
Nah. Dang it. You said A.K.A.
You beat me to it, as usual.
And we are Guys with Issues. An extra issue starting next week.
Yeah, even more issues.
It's what we love.
You can catch Guys with Issues anywhere you can find your favorite podcasts.
Or check out our website at guyswithissues.com, where you can listen, find reading lists to follow along, and get to know us better.
Send us emails to longbox@guyswithissues.com and tell us your thoughts, or send us suggestions on what we should read next. We would love to hear from our listener.
Will's struggling. I'm watching Will struggle. Every day Will's struggling.
You have no idea how accurate that is.